Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Well, we talk a lot about moms here at Moms for America, and rightfully so. But today, as Father's Day approaches, we're talking about dads and the important role they play in the lives of their children. An author and dad influencer is our guest today, and that's all coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlettis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Every week, we get together to encourage, inspire, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. We have a special program today. We have a special dad on the show. X-Ane Anderson is the host of the Principal Podcast. He's the author of What I Want My Children to Know Before I Die, and he founded Fathers for Freedom, a movement that calls fathers to godly leadership, which is crucial to their families and to our nation. Well, hello, X-Ane. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We got a little switcheroo this time. I was on your podcast. Now you're on ours. So welcome.
Thanks. So grateful to be on your podcast, Deb. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we had a great discussion about motherhood, right?
A while ago.
And the importance of moms. So it's so nice to have you here talking about the importance of dads. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your kids, your wife, your family. We love to get to know everyone because you've got a nice sized tribe over there in your house.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful for the large family I have. I've got six children total. One of them is in heaven, five on the ground. I've got a wonderful wife. And, you know, from the beginning, I knew I wanted to have a large family because I come from a family that's quite large. And I just know how fun it is to have extended family reunions, cousins where your kids can play with cousins their own age. And just so you know, my father is now, I believe he's got 56 grandkids, and it might even be 57.
Whoa.
And so there's a lot of cousins that my children can play with because I came from a large family. So it's awesome.
Oh, that is so good. And, you know, we're not seeing that in today's day in the culture. I think there is a revival of it, but we've really seen a lot of families step back and do one, two kids. So I love hearing these stories. And actually, every mom that I talk to, including myself, they always say they would wish they would have had at least one or two more. So good for you. Good for you. All right. So you came from a large family yourself. And from what I understand, you've got some special stories about your mom. And we do love to hear some of those mom stories. What is the one that you wanted to share with us about your mom?
First, I want to just say that moms are the most powerful people on earth. They are doing the work that really builds our civilization. And there is no one more worthy of praise or admonition than moms who are trying their hardest to raise their families. Let me tell you about my mom. When I was young, I used to like to draw trees, and I would draw them with every leaf, every twig, even the little veins in the leaves. You can imagine a tree maybe with dozens of leaves. And later I went to school and I saw how the other children drew trees, and you can imagine how they drew trees. There was two little lines with a poofy cloud on top. Mm-hmm. My mom, when I saw how the other children drew trees, I stopped drawing them the way I used to. And I started drawing them the way the other children did. And my mom, when she saw this, I found out later that she cried, and you can imagine why.
So tell us, so she just saw you conforming, or?
She did. She saw me trying to fit in like the other children. And when she saw this, she really cried. Well, let me tell you what happened later. Fast forward a couple of years, I was at a Little League game, and there's a few ways you can play Little League. You can be good and hit it. If you were like I was, a little bit pathetic, I'd just hold the bat out and hit the ball would hit the bat and drop. It's called a bunt. I had one bunt the entire season. But I'm not here to tell you how bad I was at Little League. When after this game, there was something that significant that happened, Deb. When we got back, my mom complained of a very severe headache. And my mom was not the kind that got headaches. She didn't get migraines. It just wasn't her thing. And after a while, it was so severe, my dad decided to take mom to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing there in the front room of our home, and I gave my mom a hug, mm-hmm. and I said, I love you, Mom. and they drove away. Well, I was a little concerned because this hadn't happened to me before. And I went to my uncle, who happened to just be visiting us at the time. And I went to my uncle and said, "Is my mom going to die?" And he looked at me and said, "No, she's not going to die. She probably just has a migraine." And I said, "Do you promise she's not going to die?" And he said, "I promise. Just relax. She's going to be okay. Just take it easy." And I wanted to believe him. And
Sure.
I went and got a book, and I went downstairs and I started reading this book. Climbed up on my bunk bed and started reading this book about squirrels. I still remember the book. But the next day, I woke up and I was a little bit anxious. I wanted to see my mom and dad. I got climbed off my bunk bed, went to the door, and I opened the door of my room. And on the other side of this room, there on the other side of this my room, there was kind of this long family room. And as I looked out on the other side of the room, I could see my dad. Something was different, Deb. My mom was not there. Instead, there was a neighbor and another neighbor and a friend and another neighbor. It seemed like half the neighborhood was at our home. And as I walked closer to my dad, I could see that he had been crying. He had tears on his cheeks. And as I got even closer, my dad was trying to contain his emotion, Deb. He was
Oh, I'm sure.
choking back the tears. He gathered siblings together. And by the way, I got to tell you, my sister was 10. I was 8, almost 9. My youngest brother was 7 weeks old. He was still breastfeeding.
Oh, wow.
He gathered us together, and through his tears, which he was trying not to cry, he said words I'll never forget. He said, "I think our mom is going to leave us." At this point, I started to put two and two together. I went into a panic and I said, "Dad, Dad, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to
Right.
say prayer. What can we do?"
Right.
Well, my mom had suffered a cerebral hemorrhage, which means a blood vessel in her brain had burst. She
Wow.
was now brain dead at the hospital, being kept alive by a life support system.
Oh, wow.
Over the next couple of days, we visited the hospital. And I remember seeing my mom on this. She was on a hospital bed. She had tubes coming out of her nose. And she was hooked up to every machine you could possibly. She had a monitor. She couldn't even breathe on her own, so her
Yeah,
breathing
it's like very similar to my mom. Yeah.
And
And how long did she make? Was that it? Was that the
say
last
that.
day?
She was on the life support for 2 days. When they took her off, I was there. I remember she kind of crinkled up. She turned bluish. And I remember someone in the background said, "Give your mom a kiss." And I went up and I kind of faked a kiss, a couple inches, because I was afraid because she didn't look like my mom, and I walked out. Well, Deb, my mom died that day, and as an 8-year-old boy, I watched her die. Here's my question for you and for the listeners here. How do you think I draw trees now?
Yeah, you do. You do it as to an honor to her, I bet. Yeah.
I
With
draw
all
them.
in life, you're drawing trees with detail, aren't you?
I am. I got to tell you, even right now,
Yeah.
and I feel tingles as I say this to you, I'm drawing trees, Deb, the way I see them right now. As I share this my heart with you and
Yeah.
your listeners. So my mom, even though I haven't given her a hug for nearly 40 years, you know, it'll be 40 years, just a little bit here. There's something that's almost as good as giving your mom a hug, and it's feeling her influence. And so to any of the moms listening, I would just let you know
Yeah.
your influence, the little things you do. We could give you more examples, just little things.
It's also
Go
precious.
in
You're
different
investing
directions.
in this life, and this life carries on with you. Even though you're not here, I've got the same thing. I lost both my parents when I was young, but they're still with me, and I just think of like, wow, if I could just do half the job that they did, I would be a great mom, great dad. So, that is a beautiful story, and I know that all of us do really carry them with us. And you talk about even just how, the pain of life, and you lose people. I know you've had another loss in your life. We lose people. Things, this world is challenging and it's not fair. It's complicated, but God is with us along the way. I know you have a couple words on that too before we get into fatherhood. What did you want to share about that?
Specifically about loss or pain?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really interesting. Our pain really does become our superpower later if we let it, and if we let God work in our lives, it
Yeah.
becomes our superpower later on. And so for those of you who are going through hard times, it may think, why is this happening? And just I think we can trust God that He's going to help us help others with that pain. So 100% agree that we can trust God and that our pain is there for a reason, even if
Yeah.
it doesn't seem like it's fair, as you said.
All right, mom, stay with us. More about parenting and the importance of dads right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All righty, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everybody here to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. This is how we get our information out. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for a podcast, go ahead and email me right at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I'd love to hear from you. And then also, I do this every week. I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. It's so easy. You go to momsforamerica.us, you join, you be a part of our family, our tribe, our sisterhood. We all need help and we all need support. It's moms like us uniting all across the country. We're fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us. We would love to have you. It's just a great community with a lot of support. All right, now back to the show. Let's talk about dads now. And that's become your mission is promoting fatherhood, advancing fatherhood, encouraging fatherhood, dads all across this great nation. The role of fatherhood and the reason why it is so important and why you've decided to champion this, tell us why.
Well, I'll tell you this, Deb, our entire civilization depends on having strong families. One of the weakest links that we see right now is fatherhood absenteeism, or they just don't believe they're needed, that they don't believe that they are wanted. Sometimes they're even kicked out. And we're not going to have a strong civilization. We're not going to have a strong nation, a strong society without good, strong fathers. And so I've made it my mission to help dads be awesome. Our children need it.
We sure do. We sure do. Why do you call staying at home parent the ultimate career? Is there some of the different quotes that we've seen in your book and some of the things that you've talked about?
Well, that's a great question, Deb. Let me tell you, we could go build a business. You and I, or some friends, or whoever could, we could build a business. But there was a report, I think it was by McKinsey, that said that even if we build a great business, that business will probably be dead in 18 years, even if it makes it to the S&P 500. In other words, it will be bought, sold, bankrupted, disrupted, something won't be around.
Okay.
And so I could go invest all my time trying to build something that in a decade or two isn't going to last. But the effect that I have as a parent will go on for a long time. I mean, little things that my mom did, just knowing that she wanted me to draw trees the way I see them, that still is affecting me decades later. Let me give you another example. I live in the United States of America. The reason I did it is because some ancestors from Europe decided to come here hundreds of years ago. And that choice now affects the language that I'm speaking to you. It affects my religion. It affects my economic opportunities, educational opportunities. And so that choice is kind of, I mean, a choice they made in their family a long time ago is affecting me profoundly now. Now, that's an easy one to see because it's geographic. But just as profound, but maybe not quite as obvious, is were they kind? Were they checked in? Were they loving? Were they drunk? Those kind of things can be passed down for a long time as well. And so the little choices that we make are going to have a much, much more profound effect on our children than what we do in the business world. Not to say we can't do great things in the business world. It's just saying, let's get our priorities straight.
It's not an either or. It's the focusing on what is most important with you as a parent. In fact, you talk about a lot of this in your book that you've written, What I Want My Children to Know Before I Die. And that's kind of a profound thought. What do we want them to know? And how did this book come about?
Oh goodness, as I was thinking through some of the things we've just talked about, previously I'd written a business book, but as I thought about things, that business book is not anywhere near as important as letting my children know, letting them know what I want them to know before I die. So I thought, you know what, I need to write a book to my children. And so I did. I took some time and wrote that book and I for their benefit.
Well, what are some of the things that you've told them? Because these are good things probably for all of us to be telling our children, right?
Right. Well, before we go there, let me tell you a couple things because this it's a super good question. The way we react to our kids is so important. And as you asked that question, I felt to just share this. Let me give you an example. If your kid falls down and skins their knee, and you get really intense and you say, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you skinned your knee. We need to get to the," and you get really kind of freaked out. When the kid skins their knee and you're not there, they're going to hear your voice in their head usually. So they, if mom freaked out or dad freaked out because I skinned my knee, you kind of send this unwritten message that they're fragile, right? Well, let me give you another example. If they skin their knee and you act really calm, and you say, "It looks like you skinned your knee. I've skinned my knee before. It's probably going to hurt for a while. You can get a band-aid on it, but you're going to be okay." And you just talk calmly. When it happens and you're not there, you can talk calmly. Now, I shared that in my book because I want my children to know that how they react with their own children is really important, right? But I can give you one more example. I had my 5-year-old daughter come to me. She was five. She wanted to hike this mountain near our home. This mountain near our home is about 11,700 feet tall, and she's 5 years old. And so I said, "Do you want to hike this mountain?" And I got to be honest, there was a part of me that said, "No, you're too." I wanted to say, "You're too young," but I realized that the way I react to things, like we just talked about, is important. And I said, "Well, if you want to hike this mountain, I want you to know it's an all-day hike. We've got to go up. It's going to be about 15 miles, and we're going to go up thousands and thousands of feet. Your feet are probably going to hurt. What are you going to do if your feet hurt?" And she said, "Well, I'll just take a rest and keep walking." I said, "Okay, that's a good plan. Do you think you can go all day?" "I think I can, Dad. I might have to take a few breaks." Well, I decided to let her try because I thought, let's just try. Well, we ended up hiking to the top of this mountain and got this picture of my daughter. She's 5 years old on top of this mountain. I
She
got it.
made
Yeah, it was one of the greatest things. And after that, I could tell it wasn't really about hiking the mountain. It was giving her the confidence to know she could do hard things, right? And when she had that experience, that's one of the things that dads are so. I think we can help dads develop that confidence. Well, I put things like that Principles like that, like how we react is so important. I wanted my kids to know that for their own kids, how they react is important. And so we can pass that down through generations, hopefully.
Oh, that's so powerful. And I can attest to that because when, however my dad did it, he did such a great job. I always felt like I could achieve anything. I never really thought about failing. And then he always said, if you never fail, you just learn. So I just always, I always just kind of went with that mentality of like, I didn't fail. I just learned and I'm going to do it different. And, it was just very empowering. Fathers empower children, especially their daughters. Let's talk about the father-daughter role and how important that is.
Goodness, I've talked spoke to a number of people that can attest to this, that the confidence of the father in his daughter translates into the confidence in the daughter. If we want to raise confidence daughters, having a dad
Yeah.
that's present and believes in them and can show them, hey, you can do hard things, eventually just makes the daughters very confident. Sounds like you had a great dad in that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and the father is so important to the girls because that's, again, they're looking for their husband. Again, that's the attitude they can have towards the Lord, their heavenly father. So all those principles are so important to young women. And then for the men raising men, I know sometimes my husband will say, "Listen, you're going to do things completely different than I would do with the boys. Let me take care of the boys." And so that masculinity and that fatherhood to men, that's something that has been lost in this culture as well. Talk about the father to the son role.
Absolutely. Well, the way a man treats his wife could be the way a young man will treat his future wife. That masculinity, and there, by the way, masculinity is a good thing. Let's talk about that.
Right, right.
It's a good a bad rap lately. A good masculine man, when he shows up, everybody's safer because there's this natural instinct in masculinity to protect in a good way, right?
Yeah.
I remember there was some video of I saw this guy. It was a somebody climbing up this wall to save a kid who was falling off this balcony. So there was a dad who was not watching, and the kid had got out on the balcony. And then there was another man who said, "I'm not like," and he climbed up real fast and saved this kid. Well, that ability to just make quick decisions and protect and have a protective instinct is a great thing. And we need our boys to know that. The other part of being a masculine man is to lead with kindness and respect. I mean, not with domineering and in a bad way, but I'm saying to lead strongly, to provide for a family, to protect their family. These are all wonderful things, and they are things that boys learn from watching a good dad.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things, lead, provide, protect. That's part of the things that boys need to learn.
So those are some of the things you do talk about a lot in those three roles. You kind of just mentioned them, but preside, provide, and protect. Do you think dads need a little bit of a reminder of this sometimes? Because I think what's hard with the dads is they are providing so much. They are out there working and they have to balance it. And how do they balance these three P's, we'll call them, in the best way? What's your advice to dads on that?
Well, my advice would be to remember that it's not just about a paycheck.
Right.
A lot of the dads think, well, if I provide a paycheck, that's enough. And of course, that is important. It's important to provide for your family. We need guys who are providing, stepping up and providing for their children, for their spouses. But there's more than that. We need men who can say, I'm going to be the CEO of my children's education in a good way. Let me tell you what I mean. And there's your organization, by the way, is so good at this. We need families, parents to say, look, the way my children turn out is really the buck stops with me, and take responsibility. So as a, let me just put it this way, as a CEO, you could, as a mom or a dad or together, you can decide to say, hey, I'm going to send my children to this school. But the problem is we know a lot of times those schools are teaching things that are completely different than what we want to teach, the values we want to instill in our children. And so you have a right as a CEO to change contractors. You can say, you know what, I'm not that school isn't providing the kind of support that I need for our children. We're going to send them to a different school, a different public school, perhaps. Maybe even send them to a charter school. Maybe you decide to homeschool them. Maybe you decide to do a homeschool co-op where you get some people in your area who know different things and can help teach them. Maybe you do a private school. But a dad and it, or but a dad who says, "I'm just going to check out, provide a paycheck, and not do anything else," that's really not really stepping into your role as being a leader as a dad, and saying, "You know what? I'm going to teach my kids also just at home, just spiritual values, teaching them about God, teaching them about the golden rule, how to be honest, how to be trustworthy." You
Right.
see, many of the problems, Deb, that we have in our society right now, the major problems you see violence, you see corruption, you see these big things. And a lot of people think we can fix it with government right now. And by the way, government can do a lot of good things. But the real root of the problem started a lot of times a decade or two or three or four ago, where there was a dad that wasn't present or parents weren't really checked in. And so the
Right.
kids didn't learn to be honest. The kids didn't learn to, how do I treat people in the golden rule? And then we see all these problems downstream. And so what we're trying to do is try to get a movement of fathers, Deb, a
Yeah.
movement of parents who say, you know what, we need to rebuild families. We need families who are strong. We need to be
Yes.
in America, here in America, and make our family strong, because America is only as strong as its families.
That's right.
And if those are breaking down, the very root of our civilization, the very root of our country
Right.
is going to have issues. And so that's the mission
That's
that I'm
true.
on. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, that's so true because the future, we're raising the future. So that's literally what we're doing is we're raising the future. So if our families break down and the buck stops with us and we crumble here, then who is the future and who is raising those kids? And to be what? I think tube dads have gotten such a bad rap. A lot of times in the media, we see the dad, he's the fat guy on the couch, he's just not checked in. They've kind of just really degraded men in general, our society, and dads to a really sad part. And I think that's kind of caught on a little bit where dads just don't feel like maybe their role is as important as it is. So some closing words about how important fatherhood is, and just encourage our dads that are listening, because I know a lot of our moms today will want their husbands to listen to this and be encouraged in their role in being the superhero that they are in the house.
Goodness, to any moms or dads listening to this, we need good men, good fathers to step up and be there for their children. I mean, more than, you're right, men get a bad rap in the media. They're portrayed as being kind of not needed. Nothing could be further from the truth. We
Right.
need men who will protect their families, who will provide for their families, who will lead their families, teach them good principles. And there are men out there that can do this. There are men struggling with things. There are men struggling with addiction. There are men struggling with addiction with different things, pornography or
Yeah.
gaming, or maybe they even have a work addiction. We need guys to say, you know what? I'm going to be the man that's going to invest in my family and overcome those things. And so we're trying to provide those resources.
Yeah.
Help them be better providers, help them be better fathers, better leaders, overcome the stuff that's holding them back. And let's move forward in a way that can help rebuild our country, that can help rebuild our civilization.
And how do we find out about your organization?
Well, we're at fathersforfreedom.com. There's a program right there on fathersforfreedom.com called Dad Fluence, where there's 7 weeks of videos that you can watch to learn some good tips of being a dad if you're struggling with that. Reach out to us. We need men who will help move this movement forward. We'd love to partner with any men who are aligned with our vision to help make men and families be strong and awesome.
Oh, that's great. Well, happy Father's Day to you, and happy Father's Day to all of our dads that are listening. We so
Thank you.
appreciate you. We always say this, like saying, and you'll love this. We say that we are the women's organization that actually loves men, because we do love our husbands and we do love our sons, and we love, the men in this country that have built it, the heroes of past, and those that are in our families that are raising our kids with us. And loving and taking care of us and guiding and protecting us. So thank you for all that you're doing, and to the dads that you're helping, keep encouraging them, because they are so, so very important.
Thank you, Debbie. And I will tell you this too. We are the men's organization that loves women. We know how much women are important. I can tell you just from my own mom's experience how important it is to have women who are strong, good, awesome women. And I'm so grateful for my mom, who was one of those women who helped and influenced me. So this is not about men against women. This is about men treating women with respect, with chivalry, and honoring their roles, but just inspiring men to be more awesome. So thank you for that, Debbie.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you as well.
That was a great interview with Xane. So inspiring. Thanks again. And to all of us, to the dads that are in our lives, give them a call. Give them a word of encouragement. Let them know how much you love them and you value them and appreciate them. So happy Father's Day to all of our dads that are listening. We so appreciate you. And to the moms again, thanks for joining us today. Please again, share this with the moms in your life and in your circle. Moms for America is here. We have amazing programs. We have amazing resources to help support you, moms. And we know that it's challenging times here to raise kids, but we have a plethora of information and support at momsforamerica.us. From parental rights to public policy and from the kitchen table to Congress, we here at Moms for America have it all. We are your ultimate support group. All right, moms, I will see you next week. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. And happy, happy, happy Father's Day. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.